As Rose said, anybody who knows me a little bit would know that this topic on calling and vocation is something I care a lot about. And I've already been blessed. I don't really care who's here. I've been blessed in preparing for it. But no, because it's... And I care about this community. And I think we all know quite a bit in the way we operate as a community about calling and vocation. And you may use that language or you may not. You might be like me. I know there are people for the notion of calling and vocation. You do know something about and you live your life that way, as I do. But I want it's exciting for me to share with you for two reasons. It is this, reflecting on this, I think the notion of calling and vocation would probably be, if not the key idea, one of the most fundamental ideas that has shaped how I look at my life, how I look at my faith, how I've lived my life and faith consciously since I was a student, unconsciously from before that. And because, if you know anything about me, so I want to share, what I want to share today, and I'm not going to do all the talking, you're going to have space to do your own thinking and listening. I want to share with you some of my own journey with this. I might say, if you look around the wall, some of my dear friends that I've travelled with, writers and poetry and so on, and images that for me have shaped how I live and how I think about calling and vocation. And if there's one of them that speaks to you, I'll be happy. And maybe none of them will, and that's the luck of this kind of community. But what I want you to know is that this is something out of my life and my lifetime journeys. Since I was brought up as a faithful, as a Christian, as a child. And also, if you want to know something about my own calling and vocation in the world, what I think I'm called to do for others, this is it. So I'm sharing personally out of my journey, and I'm sharing from my own heart with you who I am and what I do in the world. So it's special to do, and you are one of the key enabling communities of my life about my vocation. So I hope you get, there's multiple levels at which this is rich for me, and I hope out of some of what I share, there might be one or two things that speak, allow God to speak to you today where you are. And if not, maybe next week. Before I go any further, I want to read you a passage out of one of the best books I know, Parker Palmer's Let Your Life Speak. And this, what you'll see in a minute, I'm going to share for maybe about 10 minutes, 5-10 minutes. And then we will have space for you to do your own thing. So I'm prepared for the kids, but there is space for the kids. So I want to introduce you, invite you into this theme, leave you some time either to be on your own to read and reflect, or possibly in twos and threes to talk about some of what's around the room, and then we'll come back and see what's happened. The Pearl of Great Price by Parker Palmer. I first learned about vocation growing up in the church. I value much about the religious tradition in which I was raised, but the idea of vocation I picked up in those circles created a distortion until I grew strong enough to discard it. I mean the idea that vocation or calling comes from a voice external to ourselves, a voice of moral demand that asks us to become someone we are not, someone different, someone better, someone just beyond our reach. It is a notion that makes me feel inadequate to the task of living my own life, creating guilt about the distance between who I was and who I was supposed to be, leaving me exhausted as I laboured to close the gap. Today, this could be me, by the way. Today, I understand vocation quite differently. Not as a goal to be achieved, but as a gift to be received. Discovering vocation does not mean scrambling towards some prize just beyond my reach, but accepting the treasure of true self I already possess. Vocation does not come from a voice out there calling me to become something I am not. It comes from a voice in here calling me to be the person I was born to be, to fulfill the original selfhood given me at birth by God. It's a strange gift, this birthright gift of self. There is a Jewish Hasidic tale that reveals with amazing brevity both the universal tendency to want to be someone else and the ultimate importance of becoming oneself. Rabbi Zusa, when he was an old man, said, "In the coming world, they will not ask me, 'Why were you not Moses?' They will ask me, 'Why were you not Zusa?'" Biblical faith calls this birthright gift of self the image of God in which we are all created. Thomas Merton calls it true self. Quakers call it the inner light or the inner teacher or that of God in every person. The humanist tradition calls it integrity and identity. No matter what you call it, it is a pearl of great price. The difficulty is that from our first days in school, we are taught to listen to everything and everyone but ourselves, to take all our clues about living from the people and the powers around us. We listen for everywhere except from within. Another place in the same book he says, most of us spend the first half of our lives being taught to listen to everybody else's voice but our own. And if we're fortunate and we wake up, we spend the second half of our lives learning to listen to our own still voice within. So I read that to invite you to start listening to your own heart and mind around this idea of vocation and calling. What gets triggered for you? What does it mean to you? And what might the Spirit of God be saying to you about your life? So that is over there on the wall, and it's somewhere else, over there on the wall if you want to look at it later. I thought we'd go back to basics. Dictionary definitions, which are also over there. From the dictionary, we use it in a range of ways. Meaning one, a particular occupation, business or profession calling. A strong impulse or inclination to follow a particular activity or career. Three, a divine call to God's service or to the Christian life. Four, a function or station in life to which one is called by God. So I'm putting it out there. We know we use it in different ways. It's often used as equal to paid career. That is not the way I'm using it here. Your calling, your special purpose in life about who you're meant to be may at times be expressed through paid work. But this notion of calling from the religious tradition is much bigger than that. So I invite you to play with that and read about it. If I think about how this became important to me, I want to briefly tell you my own story. I can't quite remember, but I do remember being nurtured in my evangelical tradition. As a student, becoming dissatisfied, it seemed to be your job was to get born again, and then based on an interpretation of Matthew 28, if you were a real Christian, you evangelized. And the highest purpose of being a Christian was to evangelize. Does anyone relate to that? That was kind of, that. I'm not saying that's not important, but I realized that that was what I was brought up in. And it was kind of like, and if you were really spiritual, you became a missionary or a full-time Christian worker. And that left me satisfied because it discounted the most Christians and most of my life. When I'm not preaching the gospel. So it just didn't work for me, that narrow interpretation of the purpose of being a Christian was to just evangelize. And I realized, and this also got triggered, when Lynn and I went to Nepal. And we were volunteers with InterServe, went for our professional work to live in Nepal. And we'd come back to deputation to speak about the work, and everyone would look at us wildly because we were missionaries. Yeah? And I used to preach this to say, is either we are all missionaries or none of us are missionaries. Because I didn't think any differently about my life in Nepal than I did back here. And I realised that where the whole vocation thing got worked out for me is over there. There's an article on Martin Luther's view of vocation. And I don't know when I consciously came across this, but Martin Luther in the Reformation, he was a priest. And he developed a different notion of vocation, which was the same thing. He was having a go at, in his day and age, you had lay, secular, and religious vocations. You know, if you're really spiritual, you become a monk or a priest or a nun. And he took a different view of vocation. In contrast and against that way of thinking, that I think was a bit like what I grew up with, Luther said the biblical view is that God's calling vocation for the Christian is to serve his or her neighbour in love, not only through one's vocation, but in the natural order roles of spouse, parent and child. And that usually a Christian is called by God into a multitude of offices all at the same time. Pretty radical. And it was very radical in his day. But I realised that's how I've come to think about it, is we are called as Christians to a general vocational calling, which I would define now as being called to learn to be the beloved of God. Called to experience being totally and unreservedly loved of God, and to become like the great, the compassionate Father, and to exercise the great commandment of loving the Lord your God with all your heart and mind, your neighbour as yourself. So my view is we are called to live, all of us are called to live that, and in that discover that we are beloved of God and have nothing to fear. That's a lifetime journey in my experience. And that we are all called to live that out in different ways, in the different contexts of our lives. At work, in our families, in the community, wherever we come to see ourselves, we are called to find out what is that particular gifting that I have to be God's person in those places. So that in brief, somehow or other, that has shaped and helped me continuously relieve the pressure I put on myself in my life, particularly that lurking fear that I'm never good enough, and so on. So I'm going to stop there. That's a very quick overview of how vocation has shaped my thinking. What I'd also say is I think my sense of vocation, there's some core bits that if I look back have been true all of my life, but the particular shape and mix and balance of what I do and where I do it ebbs and flows, and I'm in a wonderful new place now where I'm learning the calling of being a grandfather and a grandparent, which is different to being a parent. So I'm going to stop there. Hope some of that's triggered something for you. We're going to take about 20 minutes. I'm going to stop talking in just a minute and invite you to spend time with yourself. And around the room, you'll see some headings and some readings. I've probably gone over the top, but I love, these are my friends that have helped me and held me along the way. I left some out. So over here is a selection on the heading of what I'm calling calling and vocation, you know, definitions and perspectives. Over here, these are all related in my mind to becoming ourselves, becoming who God's called us to be. Over there, I've called it the birthright gift of self, seeds of authentic self. And in some places there are some reflective questions, sometimes it's just readings. Over here, a key theme for me in this journey is belonging. Welcoming ourselves home. Experience being fully loved and fully received in the world and by God and by each other. And Henry Nouwen's book on the return of the prodigal son is called The Story of Homecoming. So there's stuff over there. Over here, slightly stranger perhaps, some stuff on woundedness and healing and what we do with our pain. Richard Rohr says, the test of any true spirituality is where it teaches us what to do with our pain, what to do with our wounds, bringing our wounds home. Acknowledgement is poem that is not Kent's. And there is a related photograph, which I love, which is Kent's, from a tree around Lake Munger. Then there's a little bit on living wholeheartedly and with heartbreak. And then over there, all right, spread through, but over there are some verses and so on from the Bible that I think speak to me about the general vocation and calling of humans. I'd say of human beings as well as Christians, or Christians as part of being human beings. So please stand. Yes?
I just wanted to say that the Quaker quote that you said comes from George Fox, who advised his followers to walk across the earth answering that of God in everyone.
Thank you. George Fox is one of the founding of the Quakers. So we have about 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes to do your own thing. I would invite us to have this as reflective space. You may want to be completely on your own. I'd encourage you not to try and read everything, but see what grabs you and spend time with that. If in around your groups you want to have a conversation with a couple of other people, then please feel free to talk with some other people. Talk reasonably quietly, I would encourage you, and I'll bring you back in about 15, 20 minutes and we'll see what's happened.